in verse 1. The great adventure, the great faith adventure. Last week we talked about you must believe, and Pastor Ted went through how Enoch believed with a steadfastness, and Abel believed as an action. And so we are just believing God that we will be great people of faith. Somebody say faith. Faith. Hebrews 11 is all about faith. If you look at the scriptures, as you read through Hebrews, you'll see that the writer of Hebrews, I love it. If you're reading with us, if you look in the church bulletin, there we are in Hebrews right now. We're in the book of Hebrews, reading through it and just seeing what God has for us. But this sermon is called The Rewards of Those Who Seek Him. And I'm going to look at chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 1, but we're really going to be looking at verse 6. Let's read together. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things not seen." So whenever you are wondering what is faith exactly, this is a great scripture to put into memory. It's our memory verse for the month. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, and God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because death had not taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. In verse 6, it says, "And without faith," somebody say faith. Now, if you're underlining this morning, if you're taking notes this morning, this is where we want to hang our hat. And without faith, it is impossible. Somebody say impossible. Impossible to please him. So you want to please the Lord. I think all of us are in the room this morning because our heart would be that we want to please God, that we want to have a heart that follows after God. Every song that we sing this morning, did you notice that? Waymaker, he's the one. We are the one that we cling on to. And it says in verse 6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to him," or to God, "must believe that number one, he exists, and number two, he rewards those who" what? "Who seek him." Can I read it again? In verse 6 it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, number one, and that he rewards those who seek him." Now, this is interesting, and I have 3 points for today's sermon. So if you're taking notes, take these 3 points. Point number one, faith causes us to believe in him. Somebody say in him. Now, I have a little illustration. We're going to start off getting it good. Now, this took years for me to understand as a believer. Sometimes you can have faith in your faith. Do you know people like this? They'll have faith that they get healed. Healing is good. I mean, do you know someone that's been healed? I know someone that has been healed personally. I've seen people healed of cancer. I've seen people healed. I've seen my little kid. His little knee popped out one day. He was playing basketball. And this man of God, I should have been the one praying over him, but I'm just like, "Oh, we'll take it to the doctor, baby." And this man of God at the basketball event puts his hand on him and prays over him, and his leg just pops back right into place. And I'm like, "Dang, that could have been me of little faith," right? And so we have faith, but sometimes our faith is in the object. Somebody say object. Now, this was me for years and years and years. I thought if I could have enough faith in the faith, in the object, and I'll give you some of the examples of what object can be. You can have faith in a miracle. And what you do is you have the faith, and imagine for a moment that this is our faith rope. Everybody say faith. And we have faith. And you say, well, I have faith in a miracle. How many people are believing God for a miracle this morning? You should be. You absolutely, if you're not believing God for a miracle, you're in the wrong place. Because our God is a miracle working God. However, for me, because I'm a person who has a goal to achieve, I have something that I need to accomplish in my life at all times. I always want to win. Go Saints, hallelujah. And so, come on, somebody. And so the faith that I have is sometimes connected to the object, a miracle. Well, God, I have faith in the miracle. And that's, again, a miracle is not wrong. Our God is a miracle working God. Sometimes we'll attach our faith, this faith, this cord of faith, we'll attach it to a healing. Anybody needs to be healed this morning? God is a healing God. He is a God that heals us. He can take away fevers and disease. The Bible says, stripes, we are healed. But if you have your faith in the healing, or if you have, let's say you have a marriage and it's not working out so well and there's all kinds of problems and you say, but I'm going to have faith to believe that my marriage is going to be good. It's going to be whole. And you put it in an object. Or another example, maybe you tithe. And I think tithing, guys, I believe in tithing. I tell this story all the time. I've never been in a place where I've not tithed. But some people will tithe only so that they can get blessed. And again, God blesses those who tithe. That is a scripture reference. Whenever you give of the 10%, God blesses the 90%. There is a promise in that. There is a scripture that I can hang on to. But if I am putting my faith, since I tithe, God, nothing will ever come against me. And I remember, Ted will tell this story, he tithed and he started tithing and he got a job. And he got a job increase and then got a job increase. But you know what? In 2017, although we had tithed all of our lives, all of our married life, we had given 10%. I'll never forget the day. Ted walks into our old building and he says, baby, I lost my job. I looked at him and I said, well, this wasn't supposed to happen. It was during the oil field crash in 2017. And I'm looking at him and he's looking at me. And we had been faithful tithers. We had given the 10%. We had given over the 10%. We had said, Lord, it's yours. And we have done this all of our lives. And if you put your faith in the object, the miracle, the healing, the marriage being well, and then when it doesn't change. Now, we don't like talking about this at all. We don't like talking about that sometimes the healing comes in heaven, right? There's a time where I don't know about you guys, but we've lost our job. God hasn't changed. I put my faith in the wrong place. And here's what the Hebrews says. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. So where do I need to put my faith? I need to put my faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. And whenever I put my faith in the cross of Jesus Christ, which has never failed, which is a way maker. See, now, and I hope that this would have worked a little bit better. If you could you come and pull that object lesson? Yeah, Ted, y'all give it up for Ted. He's going to help me out really quickly. If you could just pull that object just a little bit closer to the yellow rope that I have done. Just pull that object just a little bit closer to me. Now, when you put your faith in in Jesus, then now, let's see, a little bit closer, just a little bit closer. There you go. Okay. And so what I'm trying to illustrate is, yeah, that's it. Thank you. I'll give him a big round of applause. What I'm illustrating is that when you put your faith in Jesus, who never fails, I'm not putting my faith in a better marriage. I'm not putting my faith in something that it maybe God chooses. It's like the Hebrew boys. Remember them? They go into the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said this, God can heal. He will heal. But even if he doesn't. See, we have to have a faith in a God that we cannot see and we cannot understand. And there are times when God can heal and he will heal. And even if he doesn't, there are a miracle that's in the room that God can give a miracle. He will give a miracle. But even if he doesn't, God can restore a marriage. He can. He will restore a marriage. But even if he doesn't, God can bless you financially and he will bless you financially when you tithe. But even even if he doesn't. See, my faith has to be in God first. And when I place my faith in God, somebody say in God, then all of these objects are subjected to him. They're all underneath the authority of Christ. So God, in my faith that I've placed in you, who never changes, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says. See, for years of my life, I would put faith in my faith. And God says, but I want you to place your faith in your God. There's a difference. And God is saying to us through Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. My God will, he can, but even if he doesn't, I need to be one who calls after God. There's a God, he is God. It's for his glory. This life that we live is for his renown. It has to be the desire of our heart. Everything is about him. Somebody say it's about him. See, so our faith is attached to him. And I'm going to let this go just for a second. And I want to keep on preaching this morning. Our faith is attached to him from the beginning to the end. He is the Alpha and Omega. That is where my faith lies. I am not moved because I am attached to Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Now, whenever you're attached to him, see, point number one was faith causes us to believe in him. So first of all, you have to believe in him. Number two, faith causes us to seek him. Go back to verse 6. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, number one, and that he rewards. Somebody say rewards. He rewards those who seek him. Now this is different. Because in our culture today, everybody gets a trophy. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know everybody gets, if you participate, your team could go 0-0 and they're going to give you a participation trophy, right? That's how schools have changed. They don't give conduct grades anymore. I don't even understand that. I want to know if my kid's bad. You let me know. But they don't even tell me anymore if my kid's bad. Why? Because, we don't want to hurt their precious. And we see this in our culture. Everybody gets a participation trophy. Okay, you don't get a conduct grade. We don't want to hurt people's feelings. And I know that scripture says God does not play favorites. He doesn't. He loves you. He loves me. He loves each one of us the same way. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. But God does reward people that draw close to him. He just does. He has a purpose. And the thing is that each one of us in the room can draw close to God. That's your choice. That's my choice. As a believer in Jesus, as the one who says, okay, number one, I believe that faith causes me to follow God, to believe in God. Number two, faith causes me to seek him. God says, seek him while he may be found. There is a pouring out of God's spirit on people that seek God. You ever been around someone that seeks God? You know it. Like you walk up into the room and the presence of God is just there. They have this anointing on them, this power of God on them. When they speak, it's like something happens in the heavens. You can't see it, but you know it's there. Why? Because there's a person that has sought after the Lord. There's a person that's spending some time on their knees. There's a person that's spending some time in the Word of God. And these people are the people that God pours out his favor on. That doesn't mean that they get everything they want. It doesn't mean that you get financially blessed. It just means that you get to follow Jesus and his power and his anointing goes with you. I want God to go with me. And I think of some of my heroes of the faith. One of them, Billy Graham. Last week I was sitting with the young people and they're like, who are these people? And I'm going to tell you who some of these people are, guys, because they're heroes of the faith. Now we have Cain, we have Abel, and we have Enoch that are heroes of the faith. And I'm sure Pastor is coming with some more next week. But guys, Billy Graham in a time of penny candy. Anybody remember when candy used to be a penny? Nickel sodas, brides, traveling preachers. They would have these preachers that would travel and Sunday's papers, newspapers. You remember newspapers? I don't know if you remember what a newspaper is. Everybody was optimistic. And in May of 1934, at a Christian business alliance of Charlotte, North Carolina. They had a permission to hold an all-day prayer meeting in 1934. And out of that day, a prayer was raised that out of Charlotte, North Carolina, the Lord would raise up someone to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. So they're praying and they're doing what? They're seeking the Lord. And the Lord put on their heart to pray for someone out of Charlotte, North Carolina, that would reach the ends of the world. And a young man gave his life to Jesus just a couple years later, ended up enrolling in a Bible school. And they went to a house, John Wesley's house. The reason why a lot of our faith is like we are is because of John Wesley. And John Wesley's house, he had passed away, but they were exploring it. And all the Bible kids were out there and they were going through the house and looking up and down John Wesley's house. They get out on the bus and one guy is missing. And the professor's looking and he does a head count and he realizes that he's missing one of his students. And he goes up back into the house and he looks through the downstairs and he can't find anybody, so he looks through the upstairs and he hears a prayer of a person. And right there at John Wesley's bed, they said that John Wesley prayed so much that they had kneeling marks. You know how your knees can make a mark if you kneel down enough? They said that John Wesley prayed so much and he sought the Lord so much, there were actually marks where they could kneel down. And so they said they had a young man there by the name of Billy Graham. And he was sitting there on that little floor and he said, Lord, he said, I am praying for the same thing that John Wesley had, that you would send a revival to the nation. And here's what Billy Graham said, and a professor heard. He said, let it start with me. Seek the Lord. One of my heroes, David Wilkerson, he's a street preacher, and he was an old-time preacher up in the north somewhere, and God began to speak to them. There were some kids in New York City that had taken people's lives, and he saw it on the Time magazine, and God began to speak to him, and he said he was watching TV one night. You remember the old TV where you couldn't, like, record it or anything? And he was watching something. It was like the 10 o'clock, the humor hour, something like that, and God began to speak to him, and he said, David, he said, I want you to give up that TV. God, I can't. A TV? God, that's all I have. There was no electronics. This was the only form of entertainment. He said, trust me. He said, seek the Lord while he may be found. He said, God, I will do this. So he put his TV for sale in a newspaper. For 1 month, he tested God for 1 month. He said, God, I'm going to give up my TV. He said, if it's you, this will sell. And at the last moment, nothing was happening. He said, great, I get to keep my TV. And a phone call came over his phone. He said, did you just put that TV for sale? Is it in the newspaper? And he said, yes, sir. He said, I'm going to be at your house with the cash. And David Wilkerson gave up his TV so that he could seek the Lord. God is looking for people who will seek him. God is looking for a person in the room this morning that will say, I want to be like that. David Wilkerson, Jim Elliot, I don't know if you've heard of him, but he has a quote and it says this, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Again, Jim Elliot says, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And he gave his life to missions, and people came, savages came and put spears through him, and he died, but he knew that it was worth it to what? Seek the Lord. Somebody say, seek the Lord. Look at the scriptures that remind us in Matthew 6 and verse 33. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In Luke 18 and verse 28 through 30, and Peter said, see, God, we have left our homes and followed you. And he said to them, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in the time and in the age to come an eternal life. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13 says, you will seek me. Somebody say, seek me. And find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Faith causes us to seek him. Faith causes us to believe in him. But then faith causes us to seek him. As a treasure, as a great faith adventure. It's not just coming on a Sunday morning. It's not just attending Wednesday nights. Those things are good. There has to be a pressing into His presence. There has to be a moment Monday morning when you open the Word of God and say, okay, God, speak to me. I am seeking You. There has to be a moment tomorrow night when you pull on a worship song and you don't just sing here, but you sing in the presence of You and the Lord, and you say, God, I am seeking You. God, I am following after You. There has to be a moment where your prayers and your fasting and your worship and your reading the Word, and you say, God, it's here. I want You to use me. I want You to use me at my job. I want You to use me in my position. Whatever position God has given to you, I need the power and the anointing of God, that whenever I go forward with the things that God has given unto me, that I will be a person that not just believes in God. There's a lot of people that believe in God. The Bible says even the demons believe in God. But there needs to be a group of people in these end times that say, and I will seek the Lord. Can I read it again? It says this. It's just so amazing, that verse. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists, number one. And number two, that He rewards those who seek Him. I wanted you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38, we're sort of moving from Hebrews 11. I want you to pull out the scriptures with me, because I was reading, and I'm trying hard in my personal life to just read through the scriptures and study the scriptures, particularly this year, the Old Testament, and having God speak to me in my quiet times. And Isaiah 38, I think, is a good place. So we have people that will believe in God. And then number two, faith causes us to seek Him. But number three, I want to say this morning that faith comes with rewards. Somebody say, with rewards. Now, I don't know what that looks like. Is it a trophy that says, good job? It might be a good, well done, good and faithful servant. It might be a generations that are coming behind you that also seek God. That's my heart. For my personal life, is I just want my kids coming behind me to seek the Lord. I want their names written in the Lamb Book of Life. That's why I'm seeking the Lord. That's why I, for my family, for my loved ones, for my church, for the place that God has pulled me in, that's the crown I want. That's the reward I want. I want God to say, well done. But in Isaiah 38 and verse 1, there was a man, and he's close to death. And I thought this was so interesting, because this is so miraculous. And I love the miraculous. I love when God just does something so over the top that you have to say it's the Lord. And I love those moments too. I've had those in my life where God does something so over the top that I've just had to say, I have sought Him, faith causes me to seek Him, but God also rewards those who seek Him. And in chapter 38 in verse 1, it says this: in those days, Hezekiah became sick, and as was the point of death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, so the Isaiah comes to give a prophecy over his life. And Isaiah is a good prophet. How do you know they're good? Because what he says is always right. Read it. It's amazing. Jeremiah 2. I mean, it's not like cool to hear what Jeremiah says, but it's always right. So he's a good prophet. And Isaiah the prophet comes over Hezekiah's life. And here's what he says. He says, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover. Not a good prophecy. Not like, okay, you got a little bit of time and you're going to be dead. So the Lord has spoken, and that has come through the prophet Isaiah. And then it says in verse 2, it says, then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he did what? And he prayed to the Lord. I would say he sought the Lord. This was a man of God, a man of faithfulness, a man who had spent time in the Word, a man who had spent time in worship, a man who wasn't fake on Sunday and did whatever he wanted on Monday. Here was a man who sought the Lord. And it says this in verse 2. It says, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he prayed to the Lord. And here's what he said. He said, please, O Lord, remember how I have walked before You in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. So he's calling out to the Lord. And he said, God, I know that you said I would die. But God, I am asking you that I would live. I'm asking you to change that word from the prophet Isaiah. And he said, I have done right in your sight. I have sought you, Lord. I have been faithful with my whole heart. And I have done what is good in your sight. And then he cried, just to give it a good measure. I mean, I'm there. My kids are crying. I'm like, okay, I'm listening to you even more. In verse 4, it says this, then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, and he said, go and say to Hezekiah. So God is getting ready to move on behalf of the faith that he has seen displayed by Hezekiah. And he says, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father. He says, I have heard. Somebody say heard. I have heard. See, when you seek the Lord, when your faith is placed in God, and whenever your faith causes you to seek him, then you can believe that God will hear you also, that he will reward those who come after him. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah in verse 4. And in verse 5, he said, go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. God, somebody needs to hear that this morning, that God hears your prayers when you seek him. He sees your tears when you seek him. You think that you're the only one, but yet God is saying, I have seen your faithfulness. I have seen how you have walked with me day after day, month after month, year after year. And God honors that. And he honors that in Hezekiah's life. And he says, Hezekiah, he says in verse 6, I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of King Assyria, and I will defend the city. Behold, and I missed that part in verse 5, I will add 15 years to your life. 15 years. Because of the faithfulness of a man, Hezekiah, who walked with the Lord and sought this Lord. Look at verse 7. The story's not quite finished. It says, this shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do these things that he has promised. Behold, I will make the shadow cast by the declining sun on the dial of Ahaz turn back 10 steps. So the sun turned back on the dial 10 steps by which it had declined. So not only does God, in his faithfulness for someone who has sought after the Lord, perform giving 15 years back of his life, he says, and Hezekiah, I'm going to prove it to you. Now, most scholars think that there was not really an actual sundial at this time, that sundials were probably a little bit later into culture. And so the way that they would measure the sun is how the shadow would come up and down the steps of the king's palace. You know how shadows work, right? And so right now there are certain shadows that are over the steps. And so Hezekiah, in his sick bed, looking at the wall, and he says, God, I'm asking you to heal me. And God says, I'm going to give you 15 more years of life. And then Hezekiah says, and God, I'm going to need you to prove it to me. And he says, I mean, that's me. And so here I am. And so God says, yeah, I'm going to give you 15 years, and I am going to cause the sun to go back 10 steps on the palace. I'm going to cause it to go back. You know what I'm talking about in the afternoon? This probably happened when the shadows are hitting and you see the shadow and it's hitting the stairs, and God says, this will be a sign to you. And he says, the sun's going to move back that shadow. I've never seen a sun move back a shadow. Not one time in my life. He says, but that's going to happen. And scholars say, a lot of scholars say that this was, I mean, this is reported. Even historians are writing that this actually happened, like Josephus. And these guys say, these are the things that happened. He said, probably the Shekinah glory of God showed up in that place, in that palace. Why? Because the word of the Lord had been spoken over his life in faithfulness, that God would reward someone who diligently sought after God. And so the wonderful story that this is, and it makes it plain to account that God proved it, and he said, God, I'm going to send a miracle. The wonderful story concludes with Hezekiah. And he goes up to a temple to sing the songs of praise and the stringed instruments all the days of his life. So he gets 15 more years. What does he do? I got him to write you a song. In fact, he writes many songs. They're in the Psalms. Psalms 120 to 134 are written by Hezekiah, and they're called the Song of Steps. Makes sense, right? Because he saw the shadow move steps. And I want you to turn to Psalm 121. As we end this, we're going to play some music. I want you to turn to Psalm 21 and see what Hezekiah wrote, because this is the cry of our heart. Faith causes me to believe in God. Faith causes me to seek after God, but then faith comes with rewards. And when he rewards me, and he will, because I have sought after the Lord, this story ends that he writes these little verses of these little songs that we get to read in our church today. And I loved 120, but I want to skip over to 121, because it says this in faith, a song of ascents, song of the steps. It says, I lift up my eyes on the hills. From where does my help come? Now Hezekiah knew this. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth and even causes shadows to go backwards. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep us from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out, and he will keep your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And I thought, what a powerful song to write of the God who gave him 15 more years. Of the God who said, when you seek me, you will find me. The guy says that whenever you come after him with all your heart, he says, all these things will be added unto you. Guys, in the room this morning, here's what I would love for you to go out with, is that you serve a God who's real, but you also serve a God who rewards. That you haven't been seeking after him for no reason. You might not have been hearing the answers you want. You might not have seen it. But as you place your faith in Jesus, then he changes the objects. As you begin to say, God, I want to seek you. I want to call on your name. This is a great faith adventure. Would you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? It's hard to know which way to go, but I just would trust in the room that some of us believe in God to a point one, number one, that you would trust him and that you must believe that he exists. I pray this morning that you would. I pray that you would believe that he exists. That the God of heaven, it even says that by grace you have been saved through faith. So your faith is attached to your salvation. You have to believe that God exists, that he sent his son Jesus to die for you. He died for me. And in a room this size, I would just want to say that. If you've never believed that, and this morning as you've heard scripture and prayerfully the Holy Spirit has worked in your life, that you would say, God, I would want to come into a relationship with you. With every head bowed and eye closed, if that's you this morning, would you just lift your hand? We're not going to call you to the front, make any weird scenes, but if that's you, you've never really believed in God and the son Jesus that died for you, and you know that you're not in relationship with him, would you just lift your hand just around the room? I see it. Anybody else in the room? We're going to pray for those, but coming for the next part, so just hang on for a second. If your hand was lifted, we're going to pray together. Just ask that you would pray with me, just acknowledging God that he exists, that he can be your Savior, and that he has paid the price for your sins. Dear Jesus, would you pray that? Dear Jesus, my hand is lifted, and I want to be in relationship with you. Today I acknowledge that you exist, and I believe that Jesus Christ paid the price for my life. I ask Jesus to be the Savior and Lord of my life. I ask that you would be Lord. Forgive me of my sins and help me to believe and trust in you. Thank you for salvation. The Bible says if you've done that this morning, that the angels in heaven rejoice, they throw a party. On the outside, you're the same. On the inside, God has already started a work. Whether you feel that or not, whether you have this tinkling feeling or not, does it make any difference? Our faith is built on what we cannot see. And so that when God says it, it's already established, it is. There's salvation. For others of us in the room, I want to encourage you to seek the Lord. You may have stepped back. You may have said, I didn't see anything happening. You may have just fallen, and for each one of us, we have different levels and assignments in our lives. And so maybe just getting back into that place where, Lord, I just want to seek you again. And I just want to, and maybe you've never been in that place, and you just be honest and say, okay, God, I'm willing to start seeking you. Would you lift your hands if that's you? Say, I just need to seek the Lord again. I need to draw near to God. Anybody else in the room? Hands lifted. I see some hands lifted. You say, that's me. I need to seek the Lord. I'm just going to ask with our hands lifted that we would be able to have a hunger again for Jesus, for the things of God, that we would listen. Maybe it'd be like a David Wilkerson moment where he says, stop listening to this. Stop putting this on so much. He might. Get rid of social media. I don't know. I'm just throwing things out there. Get rid of social media. Stop watching this. Stop hanging out with these people. I don't know what God will say. But just that we would be willing to hear him. So if that's you this morning, would you lift your hands? And we'll just pray together. Can you pray with me? Say, dear Jesus, my hands are lifted in surrender. And I'm asking you, God, to help me seek you, to let go of all things that aren't of you, and to pursue you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. God, today, you're in charge. God, help me to know that you are with me. God, help me to seek you so that you can be found in my life. In Jesus' name. Can I pray over you and then we'll be dismissed? Lord, we're so thankful that we serve a God who is here, who is close. Yeah, we're so thankful, like in Hebrews where it says, God, you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. God, when we walk out these doors this morning, maybe you be a people who diligently seek him, like Hezekiah. Who said, Lord, who would be brave enough to ask for miracles. And God, we'd be like those young Hebrew men that he can and he will. And even if he doesn't, God, that you are still so faithful. God, that you are our Father and our King. And that we would walk out in full faith and in full assurance. God, I thank you and I pray, Lord, that you would do a work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. We love you guys. We'll see you Wednesday at 6:30. Go out in faith. They've got some free goodies for you. If you want to give a donation, make sure you do that. And we'll still take these shoe boxes until Wednesday. We'll start delivering them. We love you guys. See you soon.